Well, we've reached chapter 6 of Mark's Gospel in our series, the third of our new preaching series and the third of the home group studies. And in chapter 4, Jesus' parables show us that he's looking for a good response to his teaching, but that he knows there will be a variety of responses. In chapter 5, we see Jesus crisscrossing Galilee, the lake area, his home patch, if you like, and that of many of his disciples, showing his compassion and power to put things right. And now, here in chapter 6, he goes home to Nazareth, still in the area of Galilee, but just back up in the hills a little. And so we take up at chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. So he went to Nazareth, where he grew up and continued his ministry, looking for a response. And we are told that the response of the people of Nazareth was particularly unimpressive. Like many others, they heard Jesus' teaching and were astounded. Verse 2, on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. But their astonishment was tinged with, well, it looks like condescension, if we read on in 2b and 3. Where did this man get all this? They said. What is this wisdom that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. So it seems that their astonishment was tinged with condescension. They could not look up to Jesus, it seems, because they had spent years looking down at him. They couldn't look up to Jesus in the way that he claimed, because they had spent years looking down on him. Jesus, the carpenter's son. That's what they're saying, isn't it? He was below them. How could he be above them? He was from the humble end of town. How could he claim to be their king? He was good with his hands, but furniture was one thing, and healing's quite another to get your head round. Isn't it strange how people can put Jesus in a box and carry on as though he is beneath us, or at least in the place that we're comfortable with, because he's in our box, when really he is above us, not to be pinned down, not to be pigeonholed, making big claims about who he is and why he came, which make a call on our lives, which are uncomfortable and challenging. The home crowd were offended, it says. And Jesus understood. Can you see in verse 4? Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." Jesus knew this already, didn't he? If you've been reading through Mark's Gospel, you'll know already in Mark 3, members of Jesus' own family had tried to stop his work, coming to fetch him home, saying he was out of his mind. Members of his own family became some of Jesus' most committed followers later, but at this stage, they are unable to see what Jesus is doing and unable to accept what he is saying. Like all the villagers, they thought they knew Jesus. You know, short trousers, good with a chisel, rather thoughtful. But this Jesus, claiming to be God, doing these things which were wonderful but caused consternation, Too many of them just didn't want to know. Like many people in Britain today, they think they know Jesus. You know, the one with the beard and sandals, a bit soft and misunderstood. And people put Jesus in a box and think they know him. But they know hardly anything of Jesus as revealed in the Gospels. And it seems they don't really want to know, which is strange and disappointing. Because Jesus wants to be known by everyone for who he claimed to be and what he chose to do and how he can change our lives. But in Nazareth, he was not going to push it anymore. Can you see in verses 5 and 6? And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. Jesus did take notice of the response that people had to him. He wasn't going to push it. Verse 6, and he was amazed at their unbelief. He was amazed at the level of unwillingness to respond to him well. So he wouldn't push it anymore. Instead, he changed tack. Until now, Jesus and his disciples had gone to many other places they knew, around the lake there in Galilee. But from now on, it seems, Jesus trained up his disciples to help him go to people and places they did not know. That's the point of the next little section. Can you see? 6b. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out, two by two. Jesus' way of training up his disciples to go to people and places they did not know. And part of the secret of going to people and places you don't know, says Jesus, is to make yourself vulnerable. You make yourself vulnerable if you have nothing much. He ordered them, verse 8, to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in the belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. No food, no bag, no money, no spare coat. Just yourself and one other, and then go to the people, visit people. And if they invite you in, accept whatever you're given. And if they send you packing, go. Do the sandal thing at the front gate to remind them they've refused you. Do you see? Verse 11, if any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So do the sandal thing at a gate to remind them that they've refused you. But go. Go to more of those who you don't know. Well, that's a good challenge for our churches as well at this time. Our pattern, partly because we're Church of England, partly because we're a church in the centre of the village and involved in village life, is to invite people who we know and build up a fringe of people who we know, who we can encourage and tell about Jesus. But we also need to become better at reaching out to those we don't know, don't we? How can we get alongside more of those we don't know? That's a good challenge to us as churches at this time. For Jesus and his followers, there was one more thing from this little passage. As Jesus trained them up and sent them out, well, there was a particular issue it seemed they needed to be clearer on. Can you see in verse 7? He called the 12, began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And in verse 13, when they came back, it says, they cast out many demons and prayed for the sick and cured them. Now, we are not the 12 apostles, so there may be gifts that they had that we don't, but we will need to be clearer on good and evil, and wise about the work of the devil as well as the work of God. Now, there is a lot of nonsense talked about these things by some Christians and others, so we'll need to be very wise. But if we're not clearer on good and evil, on right and wrong, we will struggle to see why Jesus is the Savior of the world, and we won't know how to tell it, especially to people we don't know. It's important when we go to people we don't know, vulnerable, ready to help, ready to pray, and ready to tell. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus rejected in his hometown, but ready to go to those who didn't know him. Not without setbacks, as we'll see next week. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Please help us to understand and receive your word and do it for your name's sake. Amen.